Turn with me to Proverbs, chapter number 6. And Proverbs chapter number 6. And let's start with verse number 16. Proverbs 6, 16. Very familiar scripture. We want to look at one of these tonight. These six things doth the Lord hate, despises. Seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. And that's what we want to look at for just a while tonight. He that soweth discord, not in the world, among brethren. And I'm not bringing a message to accuse anyone tonight, but to help us so we can be especially careful along this line. Sowing discord, there's one that sow discord for many different reasons. There are those who just delight in stirring up mischief if they can. There are those who are greedy for power. There are those who are selfish. And there are those who just sow discord out of carelessness. The seed of the sower may be an unkind word. Words that raise suspicion. It can be words that destroy and destroy confidence. It can be words of complaining or murmuring. What does sowing discord cause? It causes great pain. It's injurious. It's unchristian. It puts a man in a hated position with God. To sow discord is to cast forth strife. Discord actually means strife, contention, brawling, or even quarreling. To sow discord means to sow strife, to start a quarrel, to sow suspicion, and sow doubt. Sowing discord is a sin that God despises. It's one of the seven that the proverb writer lists. Now we know God hates all sins, but these sins stand out as offensive to God, and there's a reason for it, and we'll get into that. Now I know there are other hated sins as well, but these are recorded and they're put right on display for the reader, amen, to see. Why does God all of a sudden list these sins in the middle of the chapter? All of a sudden, you don't see murder. You don't see stealing and lying. But you see these sins right in the midst of that chapter. Well, there's a reason for it. Brothers are created by God to live in unity. The 133rd Psalm, verse number 1, a song of degrees of David. Behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 9. But as touching brotherly love, Ye need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Believers, amen, our brothers and sisters, they're brothers and sisters who love God. They have one Father, God, and one brother, Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The church is the bride of Christ. And anyone who would purposely cause disruption to peace in the body of Christ displeases God. Matthew 5 and 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Jesus pronounced a great blessing on peacemakers, the privilege to be called a son of God. These seven sins disrupt the unity and peace that God desires for his people. There's been a lot of sowing of discord going on in congregations. Ones get too close to one another, and when they do that, they get free with their tongue. Others feel they can talk about anything whenever they feel like it. Amen. Amen. They may be talking to a family member or a dear friend, but if they're constantly tearing down the character of another brother, they're a sower of discord. And God hates it. And if you, the listener, take up with them and agree with them, you're going to be in that same circle. Isaiah 32, 17. The work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And verse 18 said, my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, sure dwellings and quiet resting places. Romans 12, 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And to sow discord is the opposite of living peaceful. Somebody might say, well, I'm just a type that's outspoken. You can be outspoken as long as what is spoken is not discord. Church, we need to remember what we're battling against. It's not each other. Your fight is not with me. My fight is not with you. But who are we battling against? Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse number 10, tells us where the battle is. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, not against each other, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, he says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day and have done all to stand. Amen. He said, be strong in the Lord. A sower of discord is strong in the flesh. Verse 11, he talks about the wiles of the devil. Amen. Or the trickery of the devil. Amen. Verse 12 lets us know we're not battling men, but evil forces of Satan. Listen to the words that Paul uses in these few verses. He uses principalities, powers, darkness, and wickedness. How do we overcome? The whole armor. What's that simply? Make it real simple. Take all of God that you can get. Romans 13 and 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Everyone needs to walk in the light of God or they'll be overcome. There were some things that took place in the Old Testament that were written down. And Paul said as an example. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:11 said, now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they're written down. Why? For our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now let's look at a few of these things. Amen. In the Old Testament. Let's just hit a couple of them tonight. Turn me to Numbers, the 12th chapter. Numbers, the 12th chapter. Beginning at verse number 1. And Miriam and Aaron, who are they? They're family members, brother and sister of Moses. They spake against Moses because the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he married an Ethiopian woman. And they said this, hath the Lord indeed spoken by Moses? There's the real problem. Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out you three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud. He come down to pay him a visit. And stood in the door of the tabernacle. And he called Aaron and Miriam, brother and sister. And they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who's faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, not in dark speeches, in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Whereas then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. What happened? Then he left. He came down, he delivered that message, and then he left. But he wasn't through yet. Moses here goes through a trial, being challenged by his own family. Verse 2 was the reason. Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? God calls him out for a conversation. He comes actually down and visits all three of them. Verse 8 said, with him, with Moses, I'll speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, not in dark speeches, in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, were not you afraid to speak? Wasn't you fearful? I speaking against my servant Moses. Didn't it scare you just a little bit? speaking against Moses. Peter talked about people such as this, 2 Peter 2:10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They despise authority. They presume on the grace and mercy of God. Even though they speak evil, they figure God's mercy will cover it. If God had not intervened in this situation, Moses would have had a real problem. Amen. Is this thing would have gained strength? Why? They had influence. Brother and sister. They had influence. Amen. In that congregation. They had a voice. Whatever they spoke, people listened. People listened. But even though Moses intervened and sought mercy, it didn't stop the hand of God from striking Miriam with leprosy. Numbers, the 12th chapter, verse 10. The cloud departed from off the tabernacle. God left. But what happened? Behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron, now he's speaking to his brother. He said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, for when we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned, let her not be as one dead, amen, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her, O God, I beseech thee, heal her. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days. After that, let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days. And the people journeyed not. They came to a standstill in that congregation. The people journeyed not. Why? Till the thing was over with and Miriam was brought back in to the camp. Turn with me to Numbers, the 16th chapter. I'm hurrying. I know this is not something you're going to be running out in the aisles on. But it'll be something that'll help us. Amen. Numbers, the 16th chapter. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron and said unto them, same thing, it's never departs out of the congregation. You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Moses, you take too much upon you, lifting yourself up, seeing all the congregation is holy. Now that might be true. The whole congregation was holy. But God has called leaders that he puts over the flock to lead him. Look at the difference between these fellows and Moses. Look at the difference in them. Amen. They took their problem to people. So in discord, where did Moses go? He went on his face before God. What was the end result of this sin? The earth swallowed him up. Numbers 16:31 says, came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, let the earth swallow us up also. The earth, fleshly living, will swallow you up. Amen. And has swallowed some up that's been sowing discord. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which had the rule over you, who spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourself. For they watch for your souls, as they must give account. And I think about that all the time. That they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Verse 24. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they evidently salute you. It's not hard, church, to submit to a pastor if you're where you need to be. I never had a problem submitting to the pastor. That doesn't mean you agree with everything that happens, but you submit. Why? Because he's in authority. You're not. He is. Somebody said, I don't believe that. How do you do it on the job where you work? How does that work? Do you submit on the job? Josh, you work on the railroad. Do you tell them boys what to do? Do you tell them boys when they tell you to do something, you don't want to do it? You submit. Brother Rob, you work construction. You tell them boys how it's going to be done? No, you don't tell them how it's going to be done. You submit. Why? If you don't submit, you're not going to have a job. That doesn't mean you like to do it. That doesn't mean you want to do it. But you submit. Why? You're not going to have a job. There's a devil that's fighting within congregations. He can't get us to the temptation of false religion. We've got light and understanding on that. Or he can't get us into sinful vices of the world. So he comes within and tries to take peace, quietness, to stir the body, amen, from sowing, by sowing discord. Saints of God, I say this as loving and sweet as I can say it. You need to be careful who you party with. And if they're not spiritual people in the congregation and you're hanging around them, believe me, your soul is going to be affected. They're going to sow doubt. How can you tell when people have been listening? Well, I've been a pastor a while, and you can always tell. Why? They lose their testimony. They don't testify anymore. They can't hardly get along in the service. They lost their joy. Why? Whenever the pastor gets up, that doubt has been sowed. Or it don't have to be the pastor. It could be the choir director. It could be one of these brothers. Somebody sowed doubt. So they can't enjoy. They can preach a wonderful message. Powerful message. But they don't get nothing out of it. Why? Because of what they heard. What they heard. The truth is a matter. If you're spiritual, I don't understand how spiritual people can hang around people that sow discord. If someone is constantly bending your ear, trying to sow discord, you need to get away from them. Tell them you don't want to hear the trash. Some people get on a subject, they cannot leave the subject alone. That's what they talk. They talk it. They talk it. Amen. People get too close. Amen. Mark the 3rd chapter, verse 24. The kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house, verse 25. Amen. If a house also be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Let's be wise to Satan's tactics, church. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue. Oh, this is a good scripture. Keepeth his soul from troubles. Isn't that good? A lot of trouble we could avoid if we would put a guard on our tongue. Psalm 34:13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. This is a sin, amen, easy to fall into. Amen. But it's a sin which carries great consequence. James said this, we put bits in a horse's mouth, they may obey us. We had horses. I was raised with them. Whenever we wanted to go riding that horse, we put a bridle on them, a bit in their mouth. Whenever we had a team of horses pulling a wagon, we had bits in our mouth and reins. And that's how we controlled the horses. Amen. We know if we can control the horse's mouth. Amen. We knew that we could control the horse. A ship is turned about by just a little rudder. And we can control the tongue. We also can control our whole body. The damage the tongue can do is like a match in a dry forest. One writer had said, those who blow on the coals of contention are preparing themselves a fire of the same nature. Before we close, I want to read some scriptures. And these scriptures talk about a talebearer. Back in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 16, the writer says this, Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. What did he say? You're not to go up and down as a bearer of tales amongst your people. Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. They really get a hold of you when you hear somebody has slandered you, run you down. It's difficult otherwise to overcome. Proverbs 20:19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Proverbs 26:22. Amen. Again, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. Go down to the innermost parts of the belly. In closing tonight, there has been people that's been hurt through talebearing and discord. It has ruined many a congregation. It has caused many divisions. It has kept many divisions still going on. But God's people are peacemakers. They love quietness. They love peace. Every one of us, I'm sure, have failed along this line. Somewhere, we don't want to admit it, but somewhere along the line, we probably have. And that's why these scriptures are good for us. In closing, we need to draw real close to God. Why? He'll help us not to sin with our tongue. These things, although not popular, not a popular message, will help us if we take it to heart. It's God's desire. It's God's desire that the congregation live as much as possible a peaceful life. And these things stir up strife rather than peace. What is a talebearer? You know what the definition is? One of the definitions is one who travels about bearing tales, telling stories. He travels about. Whoever will listen is where he bears the story, the tale. God help us. I know people talk. We all talk. Amen. We all got a voice. But we need to be careful of discord that tears down one another and separates one another. It can cause people to have feelings against somebody that never wronged them at all. But because of some discord, amen, they look at things different than they once did. Remember back when you first got saved, when you didn't know anything about anybody. What happened? You loved everybody. And you didn't care who they were. Why? Because you didn't know anything about them. But as time goes on, and you get knowledge, you get understanding, and somebody starts bending your ear, you take a different look at individuals than you did at one time. God help us. God help us. Amen. Not to fall into this category. Right in the midst of this chapter, he could have named out murder. He could have said whoever's an adulteress, God, these things are an abomination. But he didn't. He talked about things that affect one another within a congregation. That what? Disrupt a congregation. Disrupt the peace of God. Disrupt the quietness. And brings turmoil. You can go read in the Acts of the Apostles. The people would stir up crowds. How? Through discord. Turmoil. Stir up crowds against the apostles. And this is what discord does. It stirs people up against whoever they heard about and the tale. As I bring the message to a close tonight, let's be careful. We got camp meeting coming up. There's going to be some people that's going to be at the camp meeting. Not as much to enjoy it as they come to find out what's going on. There's actually people like that. So we need to be careful. Amen. You're a wonderful congregation. Wonderful congregation. But wonderful congregations the devil likes to work on. So let's be careful along this line.